This is Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist Afield. I'm Glenn Middlehauser, an ecologist with Maine Natural History Observatory. This week, I continue my conversation with Steve Russell about Maine amphibians and their ecology.
I am Steve Russell. I am a retired biologist slash college professor from College of the Atlantic. One of the great success stories in the face of the decline of amphibians worldwide is that in the time that I've lived on Mount Desert Island, the gray tree frog population has expanded. When I first got here, there were scattered small populations of gray tree frogs, but over the years, they have just grown in number.
How about the other frogs? How are they doing population-wise?
The populations have remained relatively stable. The greatest threat to them is habitat loss. Clearly, you know, there are pathogens out there that can impact populations, chytrid fungus and rhinovirus. But if present, it doesn't seem to have a widespread effect as it has, unfortunately, in other parts of the world.
So frogs started calling maybe a month ago with wood frog, maybe even more than a month ago. What's the purpose of all this calling that's going on?
It's the males calling, right? But you assume females are around because males are calling to attract females. But they don't do it year-round because the calling is confined to the breeding season. You'll notice that some species only call for a relatively short period of time, like wood frogs, whereas a species like a bullfrog or a green frog, they call all summer. And it has to do with their different breeding biology. Wood frogs are what are referred to as explosive breeders, so that both males and females come to breeding pools. Males will call for females, but they also will actively search for a female. So it's a combination of moving about, looking for females, and calling at the same time. You know, if conditions allow it, in that we don't get like a wicked cold front moving in, everything's over. 10 days, 2 weeks at the most here. And their calling is part of the repertoire of a male's breeding biology, but less so than what is referred to as a prolonged breeder, like a bullfrog. And there, the males stake out a territory and they call from that territory and they attract females to that territory. And they don't go out actively searching for females like wood frogs do. It's territorial, it's to announce its presence to rival males, but it's also to advertise its presence to females. And, you know, bullfrogs have a booming call that can travel a fair distance over the surface of water. Bigger males have deeper calls because they have thicker vocal cords. Females equate a deeper call with a bigger male, protecting a higher quality territory. So if we think females will be able to survey the calls and pick out the biggest males that hold a better territory for her to lay her eggs in. So that kind of resource-dependent territoriality, where the male is holding a resource that females are in need of in terms of their reproductive biology, it's kind of easy to piece that story together. But when males are simply calling and they're not in a territory, like what's in it for the female? We know now that studies that have been done fairly recently, they found that female gray tree frogs that are selecting male gray tree frogs that produce a certain type of call, a longer duration call, that the tadpoles from that clutch of eggs develop faster in the water than females who select males that have a shorter duration call.
That is fascinating.
So there we have to think there's something in the genes of that male that accelerate larval development. What kind of gene linkage there is there between the type of call that a male can make and what he confers on the eggs is interesting to ponder.
That was Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist Afield from the Maine Natural History Observatory. This program was produced by Glenn Middlehauser. The theme music is Keeper of the Light by Hallie Pottle Parker, performed by Hallie Pottle Parker and Kate Pottle. For more information, you can go to mainenaturalhistory.org. You can find more episodes of Nature Notes on the WERU archive or wherever you get podcasts.